So anyway,
all right, let's take our Bibles tonight, and I want us to turn in your Bible, if you will, to the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, please, in your Bible, and we are going to look at Hebrews chapter number 2, please. Hebrews chapter number 2 in the Word of God tonight. Hebrews chapter number 2 in your Bible this evening, if you will. Tomorrow night's the final service. And I hope you'll be back tomorrow night. Amen. I'm going to be preaching a prophetical message concerning the end times. So I hope that you'll be here tonight, or tomorrow night rather, for that service as we preach that message tomorrow night concerning the end times. So you come and pray for God to work in a mighty way in that final service. I look different tonight. Amen. Do I look different tonight? You know, I got a haircut, amen, and but I had that last night. But I got these different glasses, you know, and I took my trailer over to have it worked on today, and I forgot to pick up my good glasses. So the message isn't going to be as good tonight because I don't have my good glasses, all right? And, you know, these are my, it's not going to be as good because this is my 20-minute message glasses. And you know, I do hear one great big amen from Dale back there. And but these are my 20-minute. But we'll see how maybe we can get them converted before the service is over. Amen. So anyway, all right, let's look at the Word of God, please, tonight. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense and reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. Let's look to the Lord, please, in a word of prayer. Father, thank You for every opportunity to open the Bible. We pray that You will use the Bible in our midst tonight. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would be pleased to cause someone to see, Lord, how great it is, to be saved. And Lord, that they would not want to be saved. They'd want to be saved. And then, dear Lord, oh, I pray that anew and afresh You'd help those of us who are saved to see how great it is to be saved. And Lord, stir our hearts, we pray, and we'll give You the praise and the glory for it all, in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. You may be seated, please. You know, I traveled across the country now for 34 years pulling a trailer, and I've always pulled it with a gasoline truck. And, you know, I have evangelist friends. They say, oh, Brother Gilmore, you ought to get a diesel truck. Oh, it'd be so much more wonderful to pull that trailer with a diesel truck. They are such great vehicles, and you need to get one. Well, I wasn't really convinced. You know, I really wasn't convinced. You know, I thought, oh, you know, this gas truck's pretty good. And besides, diesel trucks are noisier, and they're dirtier, and, you know, they cost more, and all the things concerning a diesel truck that were really negative, so much so that I said, well, you know, I'm just not interested in getting a diesel truck. I'm just going to stick with the gas. Well, as time passed, I began to think, well, you know, these guys, maybe they have a point. Maybe there's something to a diesel truck, you know? And, you know, I was only getting 6 miles a gallon and gas mileage. And I got to think, well, maybe, you know, they'd be better. And I heard they're better. It'd be kind of nice to have better mileage. And so I began to pray. Oh, Lord, if You want me to get a diesel truck, would You please lead? Would You please guide? Would You please make a plan and provide? And by the way, that's what you ought to do about everything you do. You know, you ought to pray about it. Amen? You ought to pray about what you buy. You ought to pray about certain things, every thing. The Bible says pray without ceasing. The Bible says that we're to pray about everything. And you know, so I was just praying, Lord, would You lead? And then one day, here comes this truck that I have now. It's sitting there in a lot. I see it. It's used. And therefore, it's not going to be top dollar. It's in great shape. Not a lot of miles on it. And the Lord made it possible for us to get that decent truck about 2 years ago. And folks, I tell you something. I don't know how I got along without one, you know? I mean, it's just been so great to have a diesel truck. It really, it's got the 5-speed transmission, you know? It goes down the hill and it gears down automatically and, you know, it saves your brakes and it just purrs up over the mountains, you know? You know, you've got anything behind you, you know? And it's just so great to have that diesel truck. But you know, folks, there's something greater. There's something greater than having a diesel truck. It's far greater. It's far greater. I tell you what, what's so much greater than having a diesel truck? It's possessing God's so great salvation. It's having God's so great salvation as your personal possession. It's so much greater than that. You know, I want to preach to you tonight on so great salvation. And there are two reasons why I want to preach on it tonight. Number one, it's to ask you who have this so great salvation, you possess this so great salvation, to ask you, is it still so great? Or is it just salvation? You know, I believe the problem with most Christians is you got a salvation. I'm saved, you know, but they don't have a great salvation. And they're far from having a so great salvation. Oh, how we need to have a so great salvation. You know, most of the Christians I've ever known that have been fervent and dedicated and consecrated to the Lord for years, faithfully serving the Lord, it's because they have a so great salvation. You know, folks, when you get away from having so great salvation, you know, you're going to die out spiritually. I mean, you're going to get cold and backslidden and careless and prayerless and you're just not going to be what you ought to be for the Lord. See, it's Christians that have a so great salvation that are persevering and going on for the Lord and serving the Lord with great joy and great fervor and great enthusiasm. Why? Because they have a so great salvation. Do you have a so great salvation tonight? Those of you who possess it, is it so great or is it just, I'm saved? You know, but do you have a so great salvation? How can you tell if you have a so great salvation if you are saved? Here's how you can tell. Number one, are you thanking Him daily for it? Are you thanking Him daily for it? Do you know something, my friend? It's a miracle of God that you're saved. It's an absolute miracle of God that you're saved. It's the work of God in you, for you. And by no means through you. It's a work of God. God the Father planned it. God the Son provided it. And God the Holy Spirit presented it to you. And oh, my friend, we ought to every day be praising God that He saved us. Listen, if God did nothing but save you, if He did nothing but save you, do you know you have enough to praise Him for all of the days of your life? You don't have any right to complain about one thing. You don't have any right to get bitter about one thing in your life. Why? Because you have in your possession the greatest thing that you ever possess, and that is so great salvation. Are you praising Him for it? Are you enjoying your salvation? You know, are you enjoying it? You know, one time there was a preacher by the name of Billy Sunday. He was a great preacher. And Billy Sunday was kind of frank and forthright. And one time he was on this one guy, and the guy said he was saved. And Billy Sunday turned to him and said, "Well, sir, if you're saved, why don't you tell your face about it?" You know? And he just wasn't really showing forth the joy of the Lord in his life. You know, I know one thing for sure. That fellow didn't have a so great salvation. Listen, when you got a so great salvation, you're enjoying it. There's old Paul and Silas down there in jail. Their backs are bleeding. And you know what? They've been preaching the gospel. And they are in much pain. But what are they doing? They're praising the Lord. And they're singing the praises of God. Why? They got a so great salvation, folks. You see, when you have a so great salvation, your happiness isn't based on your circumstances. See, your happiness is not based in circumstance. Your happiness is not happiness at all. It's joy. And joy doesn't depend on circumstances. Joy is the joy of the Lord that He put in your heart when you got saved. Oh, folks, listen. What robs people of joy? You know what the one thing that robs people of joy? Sin gets their life. And when sin gets your life, the first thing that goes out is the joy of the Lord. David said, restore to me the joy of my salvation, say. Oh, that's the key thing, to have the joy of the Lord, the joy of your salvation. Are you enjoying this salvation? Are you telling others about it? How can you tell, my friend, if your salvation is so great, are you telling others about it? You know, if you won the $15 million lottery, do you think you'd tell somebody about it? Huh? If you won the $15 million lottery, do you think you would? Well, folks, I want to tell you something. By Jesus Christ and His salvation, I've won the eternal lottery. The eternal lottery. And I tell you what, if you are saved, you've won the eternal lottery. And you ought to tell people about it. You want to tell other people about Jesus Christ and what He did for you, say. Oh, are you telling people about it? And then fourthly, are you serving Him gladly because of it? Oh, I'll tell you something. Is serving the Lord still the greatest privilege you ever had in your face, on the face of this earth? Serving the Lord, or is it a headache? Is it a headache to work in that Bible school? Is it a headache to teach that Sunday school class? Is it a headache to come to church when it's raining? Is it a headache to come when it's cold outside? Or is it a privilege? Listen, my friend, when you have a so great salvation, it's a privilege to serve the Lord. And dear friend, when you don't have a so great salvation, you're backing out and you just want to be a pew sitter. And, you know, serving the Lord has become a headache instead of a great privilege. Now, if these things are not in your life, if these things, number one, thanking the Lord daily for saving you. Number two, enjoying your great salvation. Number three, telling others about it. Number four, serving the Lord gladly. If these things are not in your life, my friend, the problem is you've stopped having a so great salvation. And you need to get back to the place where your salvation is so great. But there's another reason why I preach so great salvation tonight. Not only because to ask you if those of you who possess this so great salvation, if it's still so great in your life, but the second reason is to help people to stop neglecting so great salvation. You know, what's it mean to neglect? It means to overlook it. It means to think, oh, it's not important. It means to disregard it. Now, there are two reasons why people neglect so great salvation. First of all, because they don't know how great it is. You know, they don't know how great it is. You know why I neglected getting a diesel truck for all those years? I didn't know how great it was. I didn't know how great it was to possess a diesel truck. If I'd known how great it was to possess a diesel truck, man, I would have got one a long time ago. I'd done everything I could to get one a long time ago. But see, I neglected getting one because I didn't know how great it really was. And so some people neglect it because they don't know how great it is. Some people neglect it. They know and they hear about it. But you know what? They disregard it because they are of the opinion that it just wouldn't be that great of a thing to possess it. And so they disregard it and they treat it lightly. I want you to see tonight why salvation is so great. Why having and possessing God's so great salvation is so great. By the way, the Bible says this, today is the day of salvation. Now is accepted time. My friend, today is the day that you need to possess so great salvation. The devil says some other time, tomorrow. God says now is the time that you ought to decide that you want to possess this so great salvation. And I'm trusting and praying that you will come to that conclusion tonight. That you will come to the conclusion, man, I don't want to live without this so great salvation anymore. I want this so great salvation in my life. And I'm telling you, my friend, as you look at how great it is, I think anybody that has any thinking capacity would really say, you know what, this would be a great thing to possess. Oh, how great it would be to possess so great salvation. Let's look at why this salvation is so great. I want you to look at it. First of all, salvation, God's salvation, is so great because of what God has done for you so you could get saved. What God has done for each of us in this building so we could get saved. Now notice some of the things that God has done for you and for me so we could get saved, so we could possess this so great salvation. First of all, He created you. You know, God created you. You know, you're not here because of some great big explosion 50 million years ago or 100 billion years ago. See, you are here because God created you. And He created you for a purpose. And He created you to bring forth His glory and to know His glory and to know the future with Him, which is a future of ruling and reigning. And He has a wonderful plan and He has a wonderful purpose for your life. And God created you. You're here because of the work of God. Say, you're not here because of some evolutionary process. You were here because God created you. He created you. He created me. We're unique beings and we're uniquely created and a wonderful body that has so many marvels about it. And God created you. But not only did God create you, my friend, but He sustains you. He created you so you could have this great salvation. Say, God created you with a soul. God created you with a spirit. You know, animals don't have a soul. They do not have the image of God inside. So an animal can never know this so great salvation, say? You know, that's why to think that you are an animal is something that is, so far from the truth. And anyway, if you were an animal, you could never have this so great salvation. But God created you with a soul, with a, Bible says, an image of God in you. And you know what? You have a desire for God. You have a soul that has a desire for God. Say, you know, I recently read that they're going to do a $4 million study to find out why it is that human beings want to worship God. You know, want to worship God, you know? And, you know, I could save a lot of money, you know? $4 million, you know? I can tell you why you want to worship God, because you're created in the image of God. And God created you, say. And He created you so you could have this great salvation. All right, secondly, here's something else God has done for you so you could get saved and have this great salvation. He sustained you. He kept you alive. He's kept you alive all these years. So you could have this so great salvation. He's kept you alive up to this point. God sustains you. David said, I laid me down to sleep. I awaked. The Lord sustained me. Do you know that, dear friend? It's God that keeps you alive. My friend, do you realize when you're sleeping that you're not telling your body to breathe? Listen, you're not the one who's saying, hey, beat heart. It's God that gives you the breath. It's God that keeps your heart beating. God has sustained you right to this very night so you could possess so great salvation. So you could make the decision to say, you know what? I want God's so great salvation in my life. See, this so great salvation is not something that a church has created. It's not what this church, it's not what I dreamed up. It's not what a preacher has somehow come up with. This is God's work. This is what God has done for you so you could have this so great salvation. It's a choice. You have to choose to have it. It's not automatically yours just because Jesus died. You got to make a choice. You got to say, hey, I want that so great salvation. You know, I remember many years of my life, you know, I believed that Jesus died, but I would have gone to hell. Believing that. You know, I believe that Jesus died for the sins of the world. I've gone to hell believing that. You see, the thing it is, you'll never have God's so great salvation until you say, I want it. And you make the choice. And you say, I do. I want this. So, and you say, Lord, please, let me have your so great salvation. I want it. And you know what? That is the choice that it takes. Now, you ought to make that choice. Why? Because of what God has done for you so you could get saved. He created you. Number two, He sustained you. You know what? I remember my real dad. My real dad, some of you were here the other night, and you found out that I didn't know my real dad until I was 34 years old. And you know, my real dad, I found out from my mother, you know what? He wanted my mother to have an abortion. He wanted my mother to have an abortion. You know, and I'm so glad that my real dad, you know, even though he wanted my mother to have an abortion, I'm so glad that my mother didn't do it. Amen. I'm glad, you know. I tell you, God was sustaining me way back there, even before I was born. God sustained me so I could get saved. So I could have God's so great salvation. God sustained me. You know, I remember a dear friend of mine, preacher friend. He was in World War II. He was on one of these great big aircraft carriers. And it was towards the end of the war. and the Japanese were trying to somehow preserve their empire, and so the kamikaze pilots came into existence, and they would come and they'd dive into our ships in the Pacific and try to sink our ships and break the back of our naval power. And so those kamikaze, well, this dear a friend of mine who's now a preacher, he was on one of those aircraft carriers, and he was one of the gunners. And here comes a kamikaze, and he's fired away. He's firing his gun at that plane that's coming right at him. You know, he knows he's going to try to plow right into his ship, and he's firing away. But you know what? He doesn't get that plane. And all of a sudden, that plane comes right into that gun turret where he was. And there was a horrible explosion. And you could smell, he said, the smell of burning flesh and the screams of men on fire dying an awful, awful death. And you know, when the smoke cleared, he was the only one alive. God sustained him. And later down the road, he got saved. My friend, listen to me. You know, I'll tell you what, God sustained. He's kept you alive right up to this very point. He's kept you alive so you could get saved. But I'll guarantee you one thing. Listen, if you slam the door in the face of God and say, God, I don't want your so great salvation, you are choosing death. See, when you turn down God's so great salvation, you're saying, I want death. And you know what? I pray that God won't let you have that you're choosing tonight if you walk out of here without God's so great salvation. I pray that He'll spare your life. I pray that you have another opportunity. But Bible says that God sustains us to the place where we can have the opportunity to get saved. But there comes that time. There comes that place when there is the final call. The final call of God to have so great salvation. It could be for someone here in this building tonight. My friend, it's a serious thing to hear about so great salvation. It's a serious thing. And to turn it down. Oh, I pray you won't turn it down. God has sustained you. He has a great salvation for you that He wants you to have. It's so great because of what God has done for you so you could get saved. He created you. He sustained you. But none of that, He loved you. When did He love you? Did He love you when you were perfect? Did He love you when everything you did was just sweet and good and wonderful? No, my friend. The Bible says He loved you and me when we were sinners. When there's nothing but sin from the top of our head, the tip of our toe. He loved us when we were covered with sin. When all our righteousnesses were as filthy rags. He loved us. How do I know He loved us? And in what way did He love us? He sent His only Son to the cross. And Jesus Christ went to that cross at Calvary. God's only Son. And you know what? He took your place in my place. He took my sin. He took your sin. And He paid the awful debt of our sin. And that third day, He rose from the dead. He's alive at the Father's right hand tonight. And He wants you to come and have so great salvation. Dear friend, without the love of God, my friend, we could never have so great salvation. This is what God has done for you. So you could get saved. So you could have this so great salvation. He created you. He sustained you up this very night. This very night. He sustained you. He loved you when you were nothing but, and I was nothing but filthy rags of unrighteousness and sin. He loved us and He sent His Son, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But not only did He love you and sustain you and create you, but you know what? He gave you the Bible. Oh, the Bible. Do you know there are 2,000 languages don't have the Bible in their own language? 2,000 languages that don't have the Bible in their language? Do you know that? Oh, listen, tonight you're born in America. You have the privilege of having a Bible in your own language. You know, people can't get saved apart from the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And folks, God's given you the Bible in your own language so you can understand what the Bible says, that you're a sinner and that you're lost and all of your righteousness can't take care of your sins and only the blood of Jesus can save you. And that's right here in this book. You know, I'm not preaching to you what I think. I'm not preaching what a church says. I'm preaching what the Bible says. This is God's Word. And He's given to you. He's given to you in your own language. So you could understand. So you could hear preaching of the Bible. So you could make the choice to have God's so great salvation. It's a choice. It's a choice that you can make. I can't make it for you. I wish I could. I've got to, you know, some people I'd like to see get saved. I wish I could make the choice for them, but I can't do it. I can just make the choice for me. You know, thank God I have 4 children. Praise God. They all made the choice to have so great salvation. I mean, they didn't get saved because their dad's a preacher. No, there was a time and a place when they said, I want this so great salvation in my life that Jesus Christ died to provide. I want it. And dear friend, you know what? All that comes to Father, He'll no wise cast out. If you want God's so great salvation, He'll give it to you. He doesn't say if there'd be a social strata, a certain social strata. He doesn't say you have to be a person that hasn't sinned a whole lot. He doesn't say there's certain sins that if you've sinned them, you can't have it. He says, whosoever will come! And you can have so great salvation. Oh, my friend, this salvation is so great because of what God has done for you so you could get saved. Here's something else He's done for you. He included you. He included you. You know what? I have two brothers, and I prayed for my brothers to get saved and for many years. I got saved first. You know, I got saved first. Well, actually, my mother got saved, and then I got saved. But among my siblings, I got saved first. And I had two brothers I was praying for many years to get saved. One of my brothers, his name is Dave. I remember one time I saw him to Dave, and I said, Dave, you know, you need to trust Christ, and you need to choose to be saved, Dave. And he looked at me, and I'll never forget what he said. He said, Gary, he said, there's a world of difference between you and me. I said, what's that, Dave? He said, you're predestined to go to heaven. I'm predestined to go to hell. I said, Dave, there's only one thing wrong with it. That's not in the Bible. I said, Dave, you know what? There is nobody predestined to go to heaven and predestined to go to hell. Listen. There is not a person in this world who could not have God's so great salvation. I said, Dave, if you'll come and trust Jesus Christ and make the choice like I did as a 16-year-old teenage boy and accept Christ your Savior, you can have this so great salvation. You know, I was in California a few years ago, and I was preaching there in this particular church where my brother was, and he came to hear me preach. I preached the message, gave the invitation, and bless God down the aisle. My brother came, and he accepted Christ as his Savior, and thank God, he possesses so great salvation. Oh, my friend, this salvation is so great. Maybe you never realized how great it was. It's so great because of what God has done for you so you could get saved. These are things God has already done. He's done them for you. He created you. He sustains you up to this very moment to accept Christ. He has loved you with a love that is beyond imagination, that He gave His only Son to go to the cross. He gave you the Bible so you could hear the preaching and understand how to be saved right from the Bible. And He included you. He says, whosoever will, can be saved. But there's another reason why this salvation is so great. This salvation is so great, not only because of what God has done for you so you can get saved, but because of what God does for you the moment you do get saved. The moment you make that choice. Okay, I want this so great salvation. What does God do for you the moment, the very moment? I'm not talking about 100 years from now. I'm not talking about 10 years. I'm not talking about, well, if you really live for God and you know, you pan out and you, you know, go to church every day and, you know, you just do everything right. No, I'm talking about what God does for you the moment you make that choice and come to Jesus Christ and get saved and say you want this great salvation for your possession and the Lord will give it to you. That very moment, you know what happens? Number one, He forgives you of all your sin. He forgives you. Listen, my friend, the number one need that you have is not economical. Listen, the number one need that everybody in this world has is not social. The number one need that everybody in this world is not physical have. The number one need that all of us have, the biggest need we all have, is forgiveness for our sins. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Years ago, there was a man on the radio. He's a radio preacher, and he'd preach regularly. And one day he got a phone call from someone who was listening to him regularly. And it was a rough voice on the other end of the phone. He said, preacher, I know you're busy, but could you please come over and see me? I'd like to talk to you. And the preacher said, sure, I'll be there. Tell me your address. He got the address. He went over to this particular locale, and he knew this particular locale was kind of a rundown area. And he got there, that locale, and, you know, the house was run down, and the yard hadn't been kept very well. And he went up, and he knocked on the door, and all of a sudden he heard behind that rusty old door, he heard a raspy voice say, come in. And that preacher walked in. And there, sitting in a chair, a run-down, dilapidated chair, the little light on beside him, was a man sitting. And you could tell that he'd been weathered and warped by a sinful life. And the man looked up and he said, preacher, thank you for coming. I just got one question I want to ask you. Do you think God could forgive a sinner like me? And that preacher said, oh, sir, I've got some wonderful news for you. God can forgive all sin. Say, 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. I'm not talking about just the past sin. I'm talking about the present sin in your life. And not only the present sin and the past sin, but all the sin that's in the future. My friend, all those sins can be washed away by the mighty blood of Jesus so that the guilt of them can never, ever take your soul to hell. You know, supposing you were out there in a life raft or out there swimming in a lake sometime in the future, you know? And you're swimming there in this lake and you get some stomach cramps, you know? I don't know if you've ever had stomach cramps, but boy, you can't move a muscle. I mean, you're helpless. I mean, you want to move them, but you can't. And you're out there and you're sinking. You can't swim. You're sinking and you know you're going to drown and you're beginning to cry out for help and you see the lifeguard over there on the shore and you begin to, you know, cry out and try to get his attention any way you possibly can. And you see that the lifeguard sees you. He hears your cry and you see him jumping into the water and coming out to you. And your heart fills with hope. Maybe he won't drown. He'll get here, you know, and take you to safety. And so he gets there and, you know, he begins to take you to safety. And halfway to safety, he lets go of you and you drown. What would you think of a lifeguard like that? That could only save you halfway. My friend, I wouldn't want to be swimming where that guy's a lifeguard. Amen. I don't want a lifeguard who can save me halfway. I want a lifeguard who can save me all the way. And I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ is a great lifeguard. And dear friend, He not only saves you from the past sins, He saves you from the present ones and the sins you haven't committed in the future. Oh, what a great salvation Jesus Christ offers to you. Oh, what a great salvation you have tonight if you are saved. How you ought to be telling it to others. How you have to be every day praising God instead of complaining and finding fault with everything going on in your life. Every day. I think one of the biggest sins lies of God's people is murmuring and complaining, finding fault. Oh, we have to be praising God every day we're living. Because we have so great salvation. Oh, dear friend, it's so great. It's so great because of what God does for you the moment you make that choice to get saved. Not only does He forgive you all your sin, but you know something else? He delivers you from hell. Oh, my friend, you and I don't realize how great that is. We don't realize how great it is to be delivered from hell. See, the wages of sin is death. See, there is a real hell. It's not just a cuss word. It's not just a human imagination. My friend, it's not just the preacher's concoction to get people to put money in the offering plate. You know, that's not what hell... Hell is real! Say, hell is a real place! And you know something? One of these days, you and I who have this so great salvation, you know what's going to happen? We are going to see what we've been saved from because we made that choice to possess so great salvation. God's going to let you see what you're saved from. Did you know that? You say, preacher, now wait a minute, where's that in the Bible? I never saw that in the Bible. Well, let's look at Isaiah 66:24, and I'm going to read this verse. And if you'll go to Isaiah chapter 66, and you'll follow the context, you'll find out this is talking about people who are saved. And notice, if you will, verse number 24 of Isaiah 66. And they, that's people who are saved, shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. Who's that? That's people who never got this so great salvation. That's people who say, I don't need it. That's not so important thing, you know. I don't want that so great salvation. And you know what? The Bible says they had their transgressions on them because they never got so great salvation. Their transgressions are on them and their worm shall not die, the Bible says. Neither shall their fire be quenched and they shall be in whoring unto all flesh. Now, get this. God is going to let you and I are saved have a picture of hell and what it was like for us, you know, not to have to go there. He's going to let us see what we were saved from. I'm so glad, my friend, that I am not going to experience hell. I'll see it, but I'm not going to experience it. My friend, without possessing God's so great salvation, you will experience it and see it. Only those who possess so great salvation will never experience it. You will see it. And in this day, You and I who have been saved by the mighty salvation that Jesus Christ purchased across the Calvary, the mighty salvation that God the Father planned, the mighty salvation that God the Holy Spirit presented us one day when someone preached to us or someone gave us the Word of God, that mighty salvation, you know, we're going to see how great that salvation is. We're going to realize, oh, this is where we would have been if we had not made that choice to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in Mark chapter 9, the Bible says this. It says that if your hand offends you, in other words, if your hand keeps you from getting saved, it's better to cut off your hand and go to heaven with one hand than go to hell with two hands. In that chapter, Mark chapter 9, it says it's better if it would get you to be saved. It's better to have your foot cut off and go to heaven with one foot than have 2 feet and go to hell. He says also in Mark chapter 9, Jesus says it's better to have your eye plucked out if it would bring you to Christ. To have your eye plucked out, it's better to go to heaven with one eye than having 2 eyes to go to hell. Now listen, why would Jesus say that? I mean, that's serious preaching. That is serious preaching. Why would Jesus say that? Why would He say it's better, it's better? Man, I think it'd be pretty painful to have your foot cut off. Jesus, that'd be better. In other words, He's saying whatever tragedy you got to go through, if that tragedy humbles you and brings you to the foot of the cross of Calvary and you accept Christ, it's better to go through that tragedy than die and go to hell. Why would He say that, friend? You know, I've always wondered why. But you know, I know there's coming a day when I look into hell in Isaiah 66:24, God's going to let me look into hell and see what I've been saved from. And in that day, I'm going to realize why Jesus gave such severe language in Mark chapter 9 and saying it's better to cut off your hand. It's better to chop off your foot. It's better to pull your eye by the roots and get saved. My friend, I'm going to realize why Jesus spoke so severely. And dear friend, every one of us as Christians, we're going to realize how great our salvation is at that very point. You know, but it's going to be too late. Because dear friend, we don't need people to realize how great their salvation is in eternity. We need people who realize how great their salvation is in time, right now, today, every week of our life, to realize we've been saved from hell. You know, most people have been saved too long. They've forgotten what they've been saved from. You've been saved from the literal, horrible fires of an eternal hell. Oh, folks, your salvation ought not just to be salvation. It ought to be great salvation. But it ought not just to be great salvation. It ought to be so great salvation. And folks, if we get back in our churches to having a soul great salvation, I tell you what, revival will break loose. I want to tell you something. We just need to get back to basics of being saved and realizing how great it is. Just how great it is to be saved. To have a soul great salvation. Man, it's easy to go to a prayer meeting when you got a it's easy to go soul winning on soul winning when you got a soul great salvation. It's easy, my friend, to volunteer to serve the Lord, to do jobs around the local church when you got a soul great salvation. It's a privilege to serve Him. It's not a headache. It's a privilege because you possess so great salvation. Oh, my friend, let me show you one more reason why salvation is so great. Are you seeing how great it is? I hope, dear friend, if you don't possess this so great salvation, that there is a taste developing in your mouth and in your heart to have this so great salvation. Oh, it's so great. It's so great. Not only because of what God has done for you so you could get saved. Not only because of what God does for you the moment you make the choice to get saved and to possess this so great salvation. It is so great because of God, what God will yet do for you in the future after you get saved. What God will yet do for you in the future. You know what? I like to look forward to things. I remember when I was in high school, I couldn't wait to look forward to graduating. Amen? And then I got out of high school and I couldn't wait to go to college and graduate. And, you know, I went to college and graduated. And then I couldn't wait. And I looked forward to, getting married. And I got married. And then I couldn't wait and I looked forward to having children. And now we've got, we have four children. And then I couldn't wait to look forward to having, grandchildren. And we got 20 of those coming. Amen. I mean, I can't believe it. 20 of them, and I can't wait to look forward to seeing them perhaps get married. But as the years of my life go by, I'm finding I have a lot less to look forward to. And the thing that the older I get, that I really look forward to the most, going to bed at night. I tell you what. I had a dear preacher friend of mine. He said, Dr. Ed Nelson, your pastor knows, and some of you have heard Dr. Ed Nelson preach. Dr. Ed Nelson says the thing he looks forward to the most today is going to bed that night. But some folks, if you have so great salvation, do we have a lot to look forward to. Amen. Oh, folks, the future for those who have so great salvation is so bright. Oh, we got a lot to look forward to when you possess so great salvation. But my friend, if you don't possess it, you don't have anything to look forward to. My friend, if you continue to live, Jesus comes, I tell you, a great tribulation can break loose. That's no fun. Tomorrow night, we're preaching about that. And if you live without so great salvation, you die, you'll be in hell forever. Forever. And then you're brought up out of hell, go to the great white throne judgment, face all your sins, see your names out of the book of life, and then you'll be cast in the lake of fire forever. I'll tell you something, and you'll ever, ever, ever be there. You don't have anything to look forward to if you don't possess so great salvation. But if you'd make that choice tonight to say, I want that so great salvation. Oh, do you turn the light on in your life? Oh, do you get a bright tomorrow? Oh, the best is yet to come for those who have God's so great salvation. Oh, the future is so great when you have God's so great salvation. A fellow wrote a book. He's supposedly a tremendous preacher. I don't believe he is, but he's supposedly to be a great preacher. And you know what? He wrote a book called Your Best Life Now. And it's a $1 million book. It sold millions of copies. Your Best Life Now. Well, you know what, folks? I got news for that guy. You know what? My best life is not now. My best life yet to come. Amen. Oh, I'm glad that my best life's not now, because there's some things about this life not too good. But oh, what a future I have. Because one day I made that choice. I said, Lord, I want your great salvation. I want it in my life. I want you, Lord Jesus. I want your so great salvation. And you know what? What do we have to look forward to? Oh, let me give you just a few things. Number one, we have looked forward a brand new body. When you get saved, you accept Christ your Savior, you get eternal life right then and there. Eternal life right then and there. The moment you receive the Lord, the moment you make that choice, God gives you eternal life. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we as workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It's a gift of God. Salvation is a gift. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. The moment you make that choice to accept Christ and have God so great salvation, He gives to you eternal life. You know what? When you're saved, you're forever young. You're forever young. You've got eternal life. And you're forever young. Everybody's always looking for that fount of youth. That fountain of youth. And they're always searching for that. Ponce de Leon, he came over here because he thought, the fountain of youth was in Florida somewhere. What a great disappointment he found, huh? And you know something? But the fountain of youth is found in getting saved and making the choice to say, I want God so great, because you get eternal life. But there's a negative to having eternal life right now. There's a negative to having eternal life right now. You know what the negative is? I got eternal life and the body's getting old. I got eternal life in a body that's, so susceptible to disease. And, I have eternal life in a body that's got the old nature that I got to fight with every day to live for God. But praise God, I'm going to have a new body one day. And that new body will not have the struggle with that old nature. That old nature will be gone. I thank God, when you have God's so great salvation, you can look forward to having eternal life, and a body will never get old. A body will never know disease and sickness. A body that will be forever young. Oh, what a great salvation. What we have to look forward to, folks. A brand new body. And we're going to get that brand new body when Jesus comes. And it could be tonight. What a great salvation. The Bible says it's so great because of what God will yet do for us in the future after we get saved. And what is He going to do? He's going to give us a new body. What is He going to give to us? He's going to give us victory over death. You know, if Jesus tarries, everyone else is going to have to die. But you know, when you have this so great salvation and you make the choice that one in your life, the Bible says that you get victory over death. You can say to the Apostle Paul, Paul said, "Oh death, where's thy sting? Oh grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is all, but thanks be unto God which giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." I tell you what, it's so good to know that death is not a tragedy in my life. It's a triumph. Absent for the body, present with the Lord. But without Jesus Christ, my friend, when you die, you're immediately in the fires of eternal hell. Oh, my friend, how good it is to look forward to the fact that when you do die, if you do, and I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the uppertaker, amen? But if I do die, thank God, my friend, I'll be with my Savior. Oh, death does not have any hold on me. My friend, through Jesus, my Savior, death has been conquered. And I don't have to fear it anymore. I can have confidence that when I die, it's just going home to heaven. It's an advancement. It is a promotion to glory for all eternity. You know, I heard about a guy who was in hospital. And he wasn't in too good a shape physically. And the doctor came in. This guy was a saved guy. He was in the hospital. And the doctor came in. He said, "Sir," he said, "I got some bad news for you." He said, "Doesn't look too good. Doesn't look like you got many days left, sir." And this doctor had a, you know, a very sober and solemn face. And the man laying there who was a Christian, he just broke open in a smile. And he said, "Sir," he said, "don't feel bad. This is what I've been looking forward to." You know, I tell you what, when you're saved, you can look forward to dying. Why? Because you're going home to home. This world's not my home, my friend. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Oh, my friend, do you have this so great salvation? You got a lot to look forward to. If you do, don't be down the mouth. Don't walk around like you've been sucking on sour pickles. My friend, listen, you got a lot to look forward to when you have God's so great salvation. But you know what? One more thing, and there's so many other things I could mention tonight. I don't have time to do it. 20-minute glasses are wearing out here. But you know what? When you have so great salvation, do you know you have a home in heaven? You have a home in heaven. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, the Bible says, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, the things God hath prepared for them that know Him." My friend, God is preparing a fabulous place for everyone who said, "You know what, I want this so great salvation." For everyone's made that choice. God is preparing a fabulous place. It is a place of splendor. God is going to put people up who made that choice in tremendous splendor beyond our imagination. He's going to put us up in a tremendous place of splendor. And you know how long that splendor is going to last? Forever and ever and ever. You know, my wife and I had the privilege to go down to Suriname. Suriname is a little country on the coast of Venezuela. We preached for some missionaries down there. And you know, I'll tell you what, it was a place where it was a third world country. You know, a lot of dirt and dust and bugs, mosquitoes about that big, you know. I mean, they take you and carry you away, you know. And, you know, there was no air conditioning and there were dogs yapping all the time. And it was just kind of a real rundown, you know, type of culture in many ways. You know, many ways it was that way. And you know, my wife and I had met a man who was very wealthy. Very wealthy. This man was a multimillionaire. And remember, he came to hear me preach on occasions. He wasn't saved. His son was saved. But you know, he came to hear me preach and he didn't get saved under my preaching. But as he saw his son and the change in his life, you know, this boy used to want to go golfing, you know, with his dad on the weekends. And they would go golfing on the weekends. And, you know, they would be very close in that relationship. He was the only boy he had. And when this son got saved, you know, he called him out to go golfing. And it was going to be on a Sunday. And his son said, "Dad, I love you. Dad, I love you with all my heart. And Dad, I'd be happy to go golfing with you anytime I can. But Dad, I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. And you know what? I'm to be in the house of God on Sunday. I'm to be with God's people on Sunday. Dad, I don't want to disobey my God. My Savior's died for me and shed His blood. And I want to obey Him and follow Him. And Dad, I can't go with you this golfing trip because it's on Sunday. If it was on Sunday, I'd go." And you know what? His dad realized that what he had was not religion. What he had was salvation. Was a personal Savior who had changed his life. And you know what? That dad came to Christ and got saved. That multimillionaire dad finally humbled himself and got saved. Well, you know what? He had a home way up in New Hampshire. He had a home down in Florida. And he had a great big yacht about as long as this building is. This multimillionaire. Well, you know what? He sold the yacht. He wanted to get that money in the local church. He wanted to build local churches with it. Praise God for that. Amen. He had so great salvation. Amen. He said, "Man, Lord, save me, man. I want to get as much of my money in the work of God as I can." Say, he sold that old yacht. He said, "I'm not about pleasure anymore. I'm about serving the Lord." You know, when you get saved, you're not about pleasure anymore. You ought to be about serving the Lord. Why? You got a so great salvation. That's why. Is your life about serving the Lord? Or is it about pleasures? Doing with the things that you want to do. No time for God. He's down, down, down in the list of your priorities. Folks, you ought to be number one in the priorities of your life. He ought to be the first thing that you talk to, the first person you talk to in the morning ought to be the Lord. The first person you ought to talk to is the Lord every morning. You got a so great salvation. I'll tell you what, that's what you're doing. And you know what? You're talking during the night when you can't sleep. Amen? You're talking during the night. He's real to you. I mean, you're talking down the road. People look and say, "Hey, who's that guy talking to?" They don't see you, buddy. But you're talking to the Lord. He's real to you. He's changed your life. And you know what? This dad said, "Hey, why don't you come down to our home in Florida, you and your wife, and we'd just like to entertain you for a couple of days." And I thought, boy, that'd be great, especially after Suriname. You know, I've been down there in that dirty country, you know, and I thought, well, good night. You know, it'd be great. We can stop by there a couple of days after we come back to the country. And so my wife and I got back to Miami, Florida. We drove up to Vero Beach, Florida, where he lived, where he had this home. Folks, I began to go in there. As we went into this place where he lived and had his home, I couldn't believe the houses I saw. They weren't houses. They were hotels. I mean, they were huge, beautiful landscape. Oh, my friend, I never seen homes like that in my life. And on their fret, going to his house, and his house wasn't, you know, as nice as and fancy as some of those others, but his was nice. I tell you what, it had been the finest home I'd ever been in my life. And I remember going to that house. And I remember the plush carpet. I remember the wonderful mattress that I slept so soundly on. And then I remember him taking him out to dinner. And he took us to this real fancy restaurant. You know, I had the best red snapper I've ever had in my life. It just melted right in my mouth. And you know how long that splendor lasted? 2 days. 2 days. It was hard to go back to common life. 2 days that splendor lasted. But you know what? When you make the choice to say, "I want God's so great salvation," the splendor of heaven won't last 2 days. It won't last a week. It won't last a month. It won't last 10 years. It won't last 100 years. It will last forever and ever. Ever and ever. Listen, the richest person in all this world is the person that has so great salvation. Oh, my friend, you know what? If I'd have known how great that diesel truck was, I would have got one a long time ago. And my friend tonight, maybe you've heard about getting saved. Maybe people have talked to you about getting saved. But you know, you've kind of neglected. Ah, it's not that great. It's not that big a deal. You know, I just don't really care about that. You know, that really wouldn't do me that good. I hope tonight that somehow we remove that veil and you've seen how great it would be to possess so great salvation. Let's pray. Father, I pray Your Holy Spirit will take these great truths, Lord. Oh, great, great truths that are so enriching. Lord, there's so much lies and so much of the lies of the world. And Lord, oh, there's so little to look forward to in this whole world. It just seems like it's getting bleaker and bleaker. Oh, Father, I pray that tonight, through all the bleakness of life and all the bleakness of our world and the troubles of our world, that somehow You would help someone to see how great it would be to possess so great salvation. Lord, it's a choice. It's a choice. That's all it is. A choice to trust Christ. A choice to turn from sin to the Savior. That's what it is. And Lord, may they make that choice tonight and turn from their sin to the Savior who forgives sin. And Lord, writes our name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, I pray that You just help anybody in this building who's never made that choice to have so great salvation to make that choice tonight. And then, dear Father, for those who have made that choice, but Lord, they've let it slip from being so great, that salvation. I pray that tonight they'll come and repent and say, Lord, I need to get back to having a so great salvation. And we'll give You the praise and the glory for it all in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed.